Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Yom Yizkor Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for the first installment of Thoughts on Hanukkah. On a general level, Reb Chaim Friedlander makes a fascinating point about this period of time in Jewish history. This story of Hanukkah, as the Jews are struggling with the Syrian Greeks, this period is referred to as Galus Yavon, literally translated as the exile while the Jewish people were under the control of the Syrian Greeks. And just a very basic point that Reb Chaim Friedlander points out is that the Jews were in Israel during this story. So we normally associate the terminology of Galus, of exile, literally, with being expelled from the land. So we currently are in Galus Edom, because we, though thank God many of us are living in Israel, but we as a people, as a unified people, are not yet reestablished in Israel. God willing, it'll be so speedily in our day. But why in the world would we refer to the Jewish people when they have a temple as Galus Yavon? And Rev Friedlander points out that what you see from here is that the idea of this Galus is not really a physical description. It's that the general mode of spiritual clarity between the Jewish people and God was darkened, was fogged in some way. And that experience where there wasn't that clarity, as within, so many Jews were joining the Hellenists, were leaving Jewish tradition and Jewish culture and Torah observance in its core manner, that is Galus, whether or not there's a temple sitting there, whether or not the Jewish people are physically living in the land of Israel. This, says Rav Friedlander, speaks to a very basic difference in halacha between Hanukkah and Purim. Purim, they're both rabbinic holidays. Purim, there's very much a mitzvah of a feast on Purim, as we know. Hanukkah, there's a nice idea of having a meal on Hanukkah. There's an idea if we have festive meals on Hanukkah with words of Torah and inspirational song, it's an enlightening, inspirational thing. But there's not an obligation to have meals on Hanukkah. So both are rabbinic holidays. Why did Purim have an obligation of a meal and not Hanukkah? And the basic answer in halacha is that in the Hanukkah story, the villain of the Hanukkah story, Antiochus, didn't want to kill the Jews. He just wanted us to leave our religion. If we would leave our religion, he'd be fine. We'd all be safe. In the Purim story, Haman didn't really care whether or not the Jews, you know, kept Shabbos. Haman just wanted to kill the Jews because he hated the Jews. So the celebration in the Purim story is, of course, a spiritual celebration that we reconnected with God, but it's also a physical celebration. We survived. In the Hanukkah story, the core of the celebration is really just the spiritual. We could have survived, and we just would have lost the spiritual. But the fact that the Chashmonaim, the Maccabees, were able to rally Klal Yisrael and fight back and keep the spiritual mode among many in Klal Yisrael, that's what we're celebrating. So therefore, the celebration is not as food-oriented, not as physically oriented as it is on Purim. Rev Shimshon Pinkus points out that this whole idea of Hanukkah and the celebration of Hanukkah and referring it to it as an exile in Israel kind of speaks on the other side also, which is that we can have a light of connection to God, a beacon of connection to God, whether or not we're physically in Israel. We believe the connection is stronger when we're in Israel. We believe it's a great mitzvah to live in Israel. We believe that we should push ourselves to live in Israel. But if for whatever reason we're not living in Israel, we can have great connection in other places too. And if there can be darkness while the Jewish people are sitting in Israel, there can be great light in other places in the world also. Just to close today with a fascinating mushel that Rav Pinkus says, just imagine an idea of a very wealthy person who marries a very poor woman. So where are they going to live? So presumably they'll live in the wealthy person's palace. They get married, they'll live in the palace. Let's say the poor wife says to her wealthy husband, you know what, I would really rather live in my old home. I want you to come live in my old home. And he comes. So which one is a greater expression of love? When the poor wife goes to live in the wealthy man's palace, or when the wealthy man goes to live in the poor wife's home? So they could love each other very much in both cases. But the second example, when the wealthy man lives in the poor woman's home, is a very unique expression of affection, of him coming down to her level. Says Rav Pinkus, that's the beauty of Hanukkah. That the other holidays, certainly the holidays that go for the proximity of a week, it's all about coming to God in his holy place. On Hanukkah, we don't have Yom Tovim. During the vast majority of the day, we're not doing anything special for Hanukkah. We have a few special moments in davening, and we light the menorah. So it's essentially God coming to our homes. The menorah is lit in our home. And that's the wealthy person coming to the poor woman's home. And that's very much what we celebrate on Hanukkah, this beacon of clarity and great love.